Central Tuesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Mobile Kintech studio at Rogers Arena, the site of the Canucks and Buffalo Sabres, the franchise cousins, expansion cousins of 1970, both going through it a little bit in different ways this year and doing battle here tonight at Rogers Arena as Canucks will celebrate Lunar New Year as well. Welcome into the Kintech studio, Kintech Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? Visit kintech.net. This hour of Canuck Central brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. And yes, the team is back together again, although producer Josh is still out with a sickness as well. A different sickness, but a sickness nonetheless. So we've got Zach and Elon with us producing today's program. Sad, how you doing?
Much better. Much better. I feel like I can speak today. I think that's a big improvement.
That is beneficial. So we're all happy about that, and we're ready for hockey to go on here at Rogers Arena. Never a dull moment with the Vancouver Canucks. Man, there was a lot of fallout about the suspensions to McDavid and Myers today. We'll get into all of that. But, of course, the rumor mill keeps on churning. Let's get to it. It's The Open on Canucks Central.
Welcome to The Open.
Oh! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
Yes, The Open on Canucks Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And the latest is, well, the Canucks are playing tonight, and JT Miller is expected to be in the lineup as the rumor mill continues to have JT Miller on the outs of the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, social media was abuzz with some renewed rumors around the Canucks and JT and the Rangers and JT Miller, and that seems like, well, hasn't come to anything because all the Rangers players were taking the warm-up and are going to play in the game. So who knows what the next step in this saga is going to be, but it doesn't look like at least this moment, within these 5 minutes, is a window I'll give, the trade will not happen.
doesn't look like we'll get an announcement from anybody in the next few minutes at the very least. So we can say that. But things keep on turning. Everybody's got their take on the situation. You go around, you talk to people. You can't go anywhere in Vancouver if they happen to be listeners of Canuck Central and they see you walking around on the street. What's going on with JT? Is it happening? Did he ask for a trade? Is it really this bad with him and Elias? It's just that the questions are nonstop, and you know the urgency certainly picked up over the course of the weekend. And I know Bick and I talked about it on the show yesterday, Sat. But what's your sense of where things are at right now? Because it feels like things have obviously reached a different level here over the last few days, even a week, as far as where things stand with this situation.
And for a long time, like, I've been of the mind of you got to win hockey games. If you start winning some hockey games and you get on a run, maybe things change and you can move forward, because you know we've maintained that when you look at what's out there, at least so far in the trade market, nothing is appealing enough for me to want to move JT Miller. And you've heard some of the rumors out there, but I think we might be getting to a point now, Reach, where even if the Canucks win, it won't close the door on the Canucks being open to moving JT. And that's something that I wasn't quite expecting. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that has created this sense of, like, I can't believe we're here with this situation now, that indeed, like, there's a good chance he gets traded, you know? And I think a change happened at some point last week, that there's a different sense about where this is going. Now, the one thing I will also caution, and we've talked about this quite a bit, is the Canucks have a price, and it's not going to be the price that they ideally want, because obviously with their situation, you're not going to get full value for him. But I think they are prepared to hold on to him and not trade JT until the offseason if they don't get suitable offers, right? So I don't think they're in a rush to just give him away. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the suggestion of maybe some wins will solve everything, I'm not sure we're there. You know what I mean? I'm not sure that's the case anymore. And to me, that's a big surprise.
It felt as though, from my perspective, you know, a couple things, obviously. The way that this season has played out, the underperformance of the team, the underperformance of the Stars, has to play a factor into how this has unfolded. Because you look at the way that this team performed last week, getting their teeth kicked in by the Winnipeg Jets, only to come home and then get their teeth kicked in by the LA Kings. Of course it's going to make you reevaluate the situation. Those two games in the context of the whole season and the context of where this team has been over the last couple of months, now having not won back-to-back games since November 29th and December 1st against Buffalo and Detroit, of course you're going to reevaluate the situation. Of course you are. If you are the front office, you're going to have less confidence that this team actually has what it takes to come together and be somewhat plausible in finding a pathway towards causing some noise, creating some damage, upsetting one of the big-time favorites in the Western Conference. With the way this team is going, you've almost lost all confidence in that. So I understand why there is a reevaluation of the situation. And on top of that, you think about the noise of the situation. Tockett spoke about it today. Besser hinted, or not even hinted, admitted that it has been an issue. It's something that they have taken with them on the ice. Has that factored into how players feel right now? And could a lot of players, including JT Miller, feel like maybe it wouldn't be the worst thing if I did get moved on out of Vancouver? Not that there's a trade request, but I just feel like there's a lot going on that's culminating all at the same time here that's creating a little bit more of a discussion as to, yeah, maybe it might be time to move on from this core.
I mean, we don't know exactly everything that's happened. You know, you hear different rumors, you hear some things, you get some things that are denied, but clearly it's beyond just like, hey, this person doesn't like that person. You know what I mean? Like, I think, you know, it's clear that things go beyond that, right? Now, is it at a point where you can't put the genie back in the bottle anymore? It might be there, right? And I think what's pretty clear, and you hear it, you know, and JT's saying all the right things, right? You hear the reports that perhaps, you know, Bissonnette today, Biz Nasty, mentioning that, you know, he's asked for a trade. But Elliot mentioned yesterday that he had heard that rumor, but has heard it's not true. And Dollywall's reported that he did not ask for a trade. You know, I've heard he did not ask for a trade. But again, like, I don't think everybody's being fully honest in this situation either in that sense, because I think they're being guarded because nobody's told us the nature of what JT is dealing with. We haven't heard exactly the details of what has or hasn't happened. Those things tend to stay private. So we don't have all the details about the things going on, but it's clear it's more than one issue that's going on. And I think it's pretty clear from JT's standpoint that he wants a resolution.
Yeah.
And we didn't get from Alvin yesterday any indication that this is going to stop anytime soon.
Yeah.
He spoke about a safe environment for this team, right, and how they want to provide that for them. It's been anything but this year, and not only because of the injuries, which, you know, you can't control that, but as far as the noise, and Tockett said, you know, the noise today, some of it comes from us and some of it is from the outside. So there hasn't, like, the noise hasn't stopped happening. The players, to your point, are admitting that the noise is bothering us. You know, it's getting in the way. Tockett's mentioned how the noise is hard to keep out of the room. It's been challenging for them. It hasn't been a safe environment, so to speak. So with this going on, I think it's clear that, you know, there needs to be a resolution one way or another. So I suppose if you win enough hockey games, it quiets it in the short term, and perhaps you can get through the season and get to the playoffs and do something. But come the off season.
Yeah.
Are you still looking to make that change? Because can you go back down this road again, right? And I think that's going to be the big question. And the other part's going to be, how do you handle Rick Tockett beyond this year? Does he want to stay here? Alvin yesterday put it up to Tockett as well. He said, we want to keep him, but it's a two-way street.
Yeah.
So there wasn't this, you know, guarantee that the coach is coming back, but they have a club option, and we'll see, obviously, where things go with it. But I think it's pretty clear it's become a mess.
Yeah.
And when something's a mess, it becomes very hard to unwind it. And I'm really curious to see how they're going to react on the ice, because so far it's been win a game, lose a game. They've been able to focus on one game but can't carry it over. And if you can't carry it over again, maybe you have to take a big loss on the trade. Because so far, Reach, and you see the trade rumors. And what did we say? I've been saying this on the show for like 2 weeks. I don't want to lose my voice again, and I'm going to start yelling. But I've been saying, like, the offers for JT aren't great. Yeah. People got mad at us because I'm like, well, you know, what's the best offer Arizona will make? I'm like, well, Nick Schmaltz and Kesselring, would they consider that? Who says no to that? People are like, I can't believe you want to trade him. I'm like, I don't want to trade him for that, but that's kind of what you're talking about. And that might be on the high end. Now you're hearing, and, you know, again, we don't know exactly what may or may not have been offered, but you hear Hedl and Lindgren. I'm like, really?
And at first, maybe?
Like, you know, and other things that are out there. And I know Frank's mentioned the offers haven't been great. And he's mentioned he should wait to the offseason. That's kind of been my sense as far as you maybe having a better market if you can get there. Like, the offers aren't great in season.
No.
And that's been the reason a trade hasn't happened so far. And I don't think anybody should be shocked about what they're hearing so far about the offers being substandard.
What's unfortunate is, like, the Canucks have, if they were to have or put together two good weeks, you know, you're probably more comfortable in a playoff spot, right? Like, you get hot for a couple of weeks. Get hot from now until the break for the Four Nations face-off, and all of a sudden you're comfortably in a playoff spot. Maybe a few points ahead of you know, all of these very mid teams towards the bottom of the Western Conference that the Canucks are grouped in with, Calgary and Utah and St. Louis. You're better than those teams. On paper, you're way better than those teams. Haven't played like it, but on paper, you're way better than those teams. You get hot for 2 to 3 weeks going into the Four Nations, and all of a sudden, you're more solidified into a playoff spot. Maybe you can get a little bit more focus going. That would help situations. Probably Miller can put more than one good game together, and not just Miller, but goes around for a lot of the star players not named Quinn Hughes, of course. And if he can play well in the Four Nations faceoff, all of a sudden maybe you do start getting a little bit more interest, and those offers do come up a little bit more getting closer to the trade deadline. I think you have time here. You may as well use it if you're the Vancouver Canucks, right? If the offers aren't anywhere close to your valuation of the player, or you're not getting things that you can see helping this team in the near future, because last I checked, you still only have Quinn Hughes for 2 years beyond this one, and you want to remain competitive in those 2 years, you've got to at least use the time available to you to try and make the best move possible for this organization. And it's clear right now from all of the reporting, you know, those offers just aren't out there for the Vancouver Canucks.
No, they're not. And this is where, you know, is there going to be resolve? Are they going to be able to figure this stuff out? And that's why I thought it was really interesting yesterday from Alvin not killing the rumors.
Well, we saw Rutherford do that earlier this year, right?
Yeah.
When Miller first went on his leave of absence, and all of a sudden trade rumors sparked out of New York about Miller potentially being a target for the New York Rangers back in, when was it, November, when Miller initially took his leave? You know, that feels like ages ago when Rutherford shut down those trade rumors. But obviously that's not the tact or the response we're getting in this new wave of trade rumors around Miller from Patrick Alvin yesterday.
No, because I mean, if you wanted to really quiet things down, you could have said, we're not trading JT Miller, we're not trading Elias Pettersson, we believe in this core, we're moving forward. That wasn't said, right? And there was no real denial on anything. And I think if you were taking the posture of, hey, let's just get through this and figure it out, you could have easily said, we believe in these guys.
Yeah.
Right? And the fact they didn't, I think, is telling. And I know they don't like closing doors, so to speak, but I think at the same time, they saw what happened last time he spoke to Ian and how those comments were taken and what the uproar that caused. So the fact that there wasn't a straight denial on it, I think should be pretty telling to you, right?
Yeah, it should be. And it tells you that everything is on the table for this front office right now, and especially when it comes to JT Miller, given he was, you know, the subject of those direct questions yesterday. The bottom line here is the Canucks are in a really, really tough spot, and it doesn't look like the front office believes winning solves this anymore. Like, a few wins, yeah, might close the noise for a little bit, but ultimately this is a situation that may not be able to work long-term for the Vancouver Canucks.
I think if you're hoping that JT doesn't get traded, I think the best case scenario is they can't find a trade.
Yeah.
They keep their heads above water to the dread deadline. And then everybody just puts it past them, past the deadline. And you're like, you know what? The deadline's come and gone. All we can do is now focus on the rest of the season and hopefully make in the postseason.
Yeah.
That to me is like the pathway mm-hmm. that you can look at and say, okay, that's how it's going to move. But I think it's going to take after the deadline. Because what happened even 2 years ago when the Canucks had signed JT and they had already traded Bo, and then we heard the rumors around JT at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
To Pittsburgh. Remember? Yeah. All that stuff kind of happened. And, you know, it didn't come to fruition, but it came out because teams are going to call, they're going to ask, and the Canucks are going to be open-minded, and things get out. You know what I mean? So I don't think there's any way things are going to quiet until the trade deadline comes and goes, and we'll see if JT's a Canuck by then.
There was another report today from Frank Saravalli that one of the reasons the Rangers trade over the weekend broke down was because the Rangers wanted the Canucks to retain, and if that's the case, I mean, I'm 100% on board with the Canucks and not wanting to retain on JT Miller. I mean, the Rangers themselves didn't have to retain on Jacob Trouba, who's a far less impactful player at this stage of his career than JT Miller is right now. And yet, they're out here asking to retain on JT. I mean, that's not a good situation for the Vancouver Canucks. Miller is still a really good player. You have to make a deal that makes sense. And if that kind of a deal is something similar to what you got for Bo Horvat, and then you go and use those assets to try and get something else later down the line, whatever it may be. But you can't trade JT Miller for 30 cents on the dollar. That does this organization no good. So this is a tricky situation for the Canucks to navigate right now. And ultimately, you know, you've got the Buffalo Sabres here tonight. Rick Tocchet keeps saying, we got to focus on the future. We got to focus one game at a time and try to win games as much as all of this is going on, as much as the noise is still right around us and all over us.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I'd like to see nothing better than these guys start winning and mm-hmm. and overcome the adversity, right?
Yeah.
And we know how powerful those things can be. And you know, I'm a sucker for great sports stories. I'm a sucker for teams going on runs and just seeing, you know, great things unfold. So I would like to see nothing better than this team figuring it out and moving forward. And because people are texting in too saying, I'm going to scream it. I want two 100-point center guys, each capable of winning a Selke, being a Selke finalist. With a Vezina-caliber goalie and a Norris-winning D-man. What am I missing here, you know? Yeah, you know, figure it out. Boys, like, you know, what else do you need to add? You have a 40 goal winger as well, and he's right. Like, there's a lot of things here where they should come together and be a lot better than they have been. And we've seen great hockey stories, like the Blues were in a spot where very similar to the Canucks right now,
yeah.
Right? So much turmoil, they're ready to trade everybody and anybody,
fighting at practice.
Yeah, and then they make a coaching change, things figure out, and they go on a run and win the Stanley Cup, right?
Yeah.
Now, that's not always going to happen. I'm not saying that's going to happen with the Canucks here or anything, right? But like, you look at this year and you tell yourself, like, what's the best case scenario? Your best case scenario is they overcome the adversity, they rally around it, these guys don't get traded at the deadline, and you make a run. But I think it's pretty clear that might be more hopeful than something that you're going to be banking on.
Rager, a 25% tariff on JT Miller would be tough. incredible text from Rager at the Dunbar Lumber text line, 650-650. Keep those coming in. All right, the Canucks Central roundup. Thatcher Demko getting his third start. Rick Dhaliwal mentioning Lankinen's got a little bit of the bug that's going around in the Canucks room. So there is, also a want to have Demko, and Tocchet has mentioned this over the last week, even after the L.A. loss, saying that they've got to get Demko more games and get him some more reps, and it looks like they're using this opportunity to give Demko a little bit of a run, a little bit of a rhythm with a game every other day to essentially every other day for the next little while to try and find a groove, find a rhythm.
Well, I mean, you want to see it because he is a Vezina-caliber goaltender. The problem is the only player so far this year who's played to his potential has been Quinn Hughes.
Yeah.
You need Demko to get to his potential. You need Pedersen and JT to get to their potential, and none of them have been, right? Now, obviously, Demko's situation is different because of the injuries coming back from, but I think it's pretty clear that what he's coming back from has been very challenging. And I'm really curious to see how it goes from here, yeah. right? And I do wonder if it's not a bad thing as far as testing where things are at with him and whether he's able to, you know, handle that number one goalie workload again.
Mark Friedman's going to get into the lineup with Tyler Myers out for the next three games. Friedman comes in tonight, and Rick Tocchet saying that they'll have situational pairings for tonight. We saw at practice yesterday, Hughes and Hronek practiced on separate pairs. So with Myers out of the lineup, Rick Tocchet and Adam Foote deciding maybe this is the time we go D by committee and split up Hughes and Hronek for tonight's matchup and maybe moving forward through Myers' suspension.
Well, it tells you how they see him as their third best defenseman with a bullet.
Yeah.
Right now. And it's like you take him out of the lineup, then there's less trust of somebody else being able to carry another D pairing. And I know fans have different opinions of Myers, and perhaps it's more of an indictment of where the Canucks defense is at.
The Edmonton Oilers sat when I saw Frank Saravalli tweet this out.
Oh, man.
I'm not going to lie. I checked the calendar to make sure it's not April 1st because I wasn't sure that this tweet was real. I had to make sure that it was the real Frank Saravalli that tweeted this out, and I double fact-checked it by going to the Edmonton Oilers Twitter account and then website to see that they did, in fact, release a statement regarding the three-game suspension of team captain Connor McDavid. It reads as such, "The Oilers organization is disappointed, and we share in our fans' frustration over the three-game suspension of our captain, Connor McDavid. We support him through this process, and the organization and our fans look forward to having him back in the lineup versus Seattle next week."
You know what? Like, we can make fun of them, and it's great because it's a really stupid statement. This statement, though, is just for their fans. It's, yeah. You know what this is? This is like this is when politicians give red meat to their base,
yeah.
You know, saying the stuff that really appeals to their base, but everybody else is like, you guys are insane,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But this is what that is, right? So everybody in Edmonton is frothing at the mouth, right? Like, I've never seen a media group this angry. Not everybody in the media, because I think everybody is great, but, like, people are just getting catching strays for no reason. Like, Vancouver and Ryan, it's like, why is Vancouver taking strays? Man, the officials missed the call. The NHL is the one that, you know, came down with the suspension. But that's how I see it. I think all they're doing is placating their fans.
I did think, look, bottom line, to see the league's best player suspended for three games, it's a lot. He still deserved a suspension. I don't know if I would have given him three games. You could have just chalked it up, Myers and McDavid, both one game apiece. I think a lot of people would have been more than fine with that.
I don't know, man. Like,
and
he cross-checked them in the head after a confrontation.
You have the rematch on Thursday.
Sure. I mean, yeah.
Between the two teams.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sure. But, I mean, you can't cross-check a guy in the face, side of the head.
Yeah, that's why you give him both
one
the suspension.
Game? Yeah, one game? Come on.
Look, Joey Kenward sent me a note yesterday, and he displayed how the standard has been three games all season long for these kinds of suspensions.
And if anything, the McDavid one, like, it wasn't quite as bad as the one Kessler took from Jesse Bolarice, because it was a lot different. But he got a long – I don't know if he had a longer track record or whatever, but he got a long suspension for it. You cross-check somebody in a situation like that, typically, that's like a five and beyond. Like, I thought, like, three is more than fine. Like, you can't cross-check a guy in the face. Just don't cross-check a dude in the face.
I low-key love that Garland didn't even flinch. Like, he didn't even, like, hold his ear or anything.
Yeah.
Like, that he was injured by McDavid's cross-check to the side of his head as it happened. But that's where we're at. There was a couple of more comments on it today as well, which we might get into a little bit later on in the program. Looking for your favorite culinary content? Food Network has all new seasons of your favorite food shows on Channel 410 on Rogers Xfinity TV. Coming up, Shayna Goldman, her take on JT Miller, what a return could look like in the event of a trade of the Canucks star number 9. That's next on Canucks Central.